Holy Father, in the next few moments, bring in the wanderings of our mind. Focus us, Lord, on what's at hand, what we need for this hour. God, this service tonight, we need to bathe it in prayer. And God, we've come to do that. We pray, God, for the evangelist, Brother C.T., you'll fill him with great wisdom and discernment and faith and your word and your spirit. God, I pray all through this day, he'll not be distracted. I pray, Lord, he won't struggle about what to do. I pray, Lord, you'll make it easy for him. God, draw him real close to you when you hear your heartbeat. Know your mind. God, fill your love. Christ, that you might be all in all. God, we pray, Lord, that the walls would fall tonight of opposition. God, we say, by faith, without really understanding what all it means, but you told us, Lord Jesus, say to the mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the depths of the sea, and it would be done. And God, it's your will that these walls fall. And God, to the demonic walls, dear God, walls of unbelief, walls, God, of error, falsehood, we say to them, be thou removed, be thou cast in the depths of the sea, based on your authority, your will, your word, and your blood. God, all those walls built up around the minds of these sinners, crash, tear those walls to the ground. Oh, that the truth might get in deep in their soul and enlighten them. Great God, show people they are lost. If they don't get lost, they'll never get found. Show them they're lost, hopeless, helpless, godless. And show them the cure that's in Christ. So we claim all this done. Thank you, God, for protecting this meeting last night in the midst of this storm. Could have blown this tent down. Could have hurt lives. God, you held it back. You restrained it so these souls could be saved. And I want to thank you, God, that you're the God, got power over nature. God, you got power over disease. You got power over death. And you got power over the devil. Thank you, God, you're in control. Thank you, Lord, for saying the word. Great God, we love you. Great God, in Jesus' name, I pray you'll come, show up, show out, show off for your glory and your honor and your praise. Great God, send the power just now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you can tell where my mind's at. Joshua 6. I'm talking to you about faith that conquers. Thank you, my dear brother. That fell off, didn't it? Telling you what, first church I pastored, they had a pulpit made out of 2x4s, had it covered with panel, and I beat that thing down. They had to get another one. Now, that's back when I was wild. I ain't wild like that no more. It got too hard on my fist. Praise God. You first start out preaching, you think a lot of it's in your movements, don't you? You got to learn that stuff. God has to harness it into your own personality. And you never have to apologize for being the way God made you. You need to repent if you're trying to act like somebody else. Some preachers, Brother Randy, certain their preacher friends show up and they'll change their whole message to prove how mean they still are. That's wicked pride. Praise the Lord. Joshua 6, I want to read one verse. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to. I'll read one verse in Hebrews 11:30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. What these walls are, they represent what I was praying about in the New Testament being mountains. Now the Lord has just delivered that demon-possessed boy, and the disciples wasn't able to, and what's happening in the context of all of this and what the Lord said, and they couldn't do it because of a lack of faith. They had lost their faith in Christ. They were dependent on previous victories, and they forgot that they had to. You don't have faith in faith. You got to have faith in an object, and the object's Christ and the Word of God. And Christ made that statement. That mountain is a symbol of demonic power. It is a symbol of anything in your life that's blocking the way and hindering you from doing the will of God. Anything that's hindering me from doing the will of God, I've got all rights to expect that God will remove that hindrance and that obstacle. But Christ said to speak unto it. Of course, that's not some charismatic foolishness. That's deep faith in God's word and in God's authority. Now, by faith, the children of Israel come past the city for these 7 days. In actuality, they can pass the walls 13 times. They did it one time for 6 days, 7 times on the 7th day. Who's got a game plan like that? Who's got a strategy like that? Just God. Nobody but God would win a battle like that. I mean, they didn't come in there in order to show military might. They come to win by obedience and faith and by praising the Lord. But the enemy's great. The walls are massive. They can't get to the nation unless they can somehow break through the walls. Israel is not a military nation. They don't have a lot of experience in defeating enemies such as this. They've never come on a walled city like this. Is it not amazing how that the greatest obstacle God gave them was the first battle that they had to fight? Ain't that wise of God? If they can win that, they can win any of them. God won the battle in your heart for salvation. You can win anything after that. Because that's the greatest miracle since the incarnation of Jesus Christ. Amen. So we see here how that these walls, here's what faith says to these walls. Caleb said in Numbers 11:30, he stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." How could he say that? He wasn't trusting in his biceps. He was trusting in God. God said the land was theirs, and he believed it. And he knew God's commandments are God's enablements. He knew if God said do it, he'd give the power to do it. Caleb is saying we'll certainly conquer. If God be for us, who can be against us? Joshua 6:1. Now Jericho. By the way, let me just say this. So many times in our life or our ministry, we say, "Now God, here's what I'm going to do. Now I want you to bless what I want to do." That don't get it done. You first go find the quiet place and stay with God till he gives you the battle plan and the strategy. Because God will bless what he tells you to do. Amen. Joshua 6:1. Now Jericho was straightly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. Now, these walls, this city is well fortified. If they're going to get to the enemy, if they're going to conquer this city, somehow they've got to get past these great walls of difficulty. They're up against an impossible situation. Well, God wouldn't have it no other way. When you try to get people saved, you're up against an impossible situation. If God don't do it, you can't talk them into it. You might talk to a man's brain, you can't talk to his soul. Man don't get saved through his brain, he believes in his heart. Only God can grant repentance. Only God can grant faith.
Only God can draw. Hey, what God told us to do is an impossibility. He made sure it's that way.
Only spiritual people can do spiritual work. Now we see here, the walls represent all this difficulty. You've got, in the empire of the Philistines, you've literally got five city states. And when you get down to there, and they represent Jericho. And the main one of the Philistines was Gaza. That was the capital of those five city states. But all of these little cities in the land and big cities, they lived off the land, and they just come to the city in time of war. They didn't build these cities real big. They built them small because they were easy to defend if they wasn't so big. You got all these people crammed in there. Now people try to figure out how many people was in the city of Jericho. Well, nobody really knows. But here's what we do know. We know this was in the traveling a route between Africa and Asia. We know this was a commercial town. And when God sent the children of Israel into the land and the manna stopped and they ate the old corn of the land, there was enough food that Jericho had when they went in that city to feed 3.5 million people for a long time. That's a big city. That's a lot of crops. That's a lot of the enemy. Now, how in the world are you going to get into that city and kill the enemy? Well, you got about 5 options. You can go over the wall with ladders and ramps. You can dig a tunnel under the wall. But the problem is, these are such massive walls. They're so thick. Some say they were as much as 12 feet thick and 40 feet high. And there's an outer wall and an inner wall. So all of that's not going to work. That's going to be another impossibility. Another thing, you might take a battering ram and crush through the wall, but they got ramparts and they're going to shoot you down when you attempt it. Deuteronomy 1:28, the cities are great and walled up unto heaven. Now that's hyperbole, but it's letting them know the people of the land look like giants. Do you know God made the Jews little people? Their enemies were always a whole lot bigger than them. Did y'all know that? The obstacles always are bigger than us. That's why you can't do it. That's why you got to get God to do it. Amen. That blesses my soul. They could use trickery like a Trojan horse. But that won't work because the city straightly shut up. None went in or none went out and none went in. They could try to dig under the city, but look how long that'd take. The only option that they had was to besiege the city, cut off the supply, and starve them to death. Well, the problem with that, it's going to take 1 to 3 years to do that. They've got that city stacked up in supplies. That's a long, drawn-out process. Jericho is standing in the way of them conquering God's inheritance that was given to them. They don't have 3 years to wait around. They need to move. Therefore, they need divine intervention. They need God to show them to do something that will bring God on the scene. There ain't but one thing brings God on the scene, and that's faith. So God give them a battle plan where it takes faith. Now, we see here that this process that God's going to take them through, this great opposition, and besides all of that, God said these men in Jericho were mighty men of valor. This wasn't the Boy Scouts. These are trained warriors. These are men of war. These are men that's capable of doing the situation. Now, Hebrews 11, we see God listing all these difficulties that the children of Israel went through. By faith, by faith, by faith, every situation's impossible. By faith, Noah. By faith, Enoch. By faith, Abraham. By faith, by faith, by faith, Moses. By faith, Joshua. All that by faith is there. and it's impossible.
My dear people, you ain't gonna win this generation on powerlessness. It's gonna take power like we ain't never known. Cause they're demonized like they've never been. And we better match our weaponry with the enemy. That's right. Hey, if you go fight people that's on horses and using bows and arrows, a rifle will do. If you're fighting an army that's got a navy and nuclear weapons, you better have more than they got. If we're going to win against the enemies of our flesh, temptation, what God's had us to do, we got to have a power that'll trump the power we're up against. But God's known to do miraculous things. What did he do at the Red Sea? Man, they're backed up. They go one way, they're going to die in the desert. They go another way. Egypt's got all their forts up there. They go back and they're facing Pharaoh. They got one way to go through the Red Sea. They can't swim it. They don't have boats to navigate it. God made sure he locked them up to faith. God locks us up to faith where nothing but God can fix it. He did it at the Red Sea. He did it at Jericho. He did it with Abraham and Sarah. He did it with Isaac. He did it with Joseph and with David. Now the marching orders are found in Joshua 6, 3 through 7. I don't need to read this. You people know the Bible and we'll save time there. But God said on that seventh day, they're to march around there in silence. You talk about a crucifixion to the flesh. It's look like idiots out there. God will make you look like a fool sometimes. What I'm doing is called the foolishness of preaching. And to the world, it's foolishness. Here I am standing, you're looking at me and I'm looking at you and I'm screaming at you and you saying, amen, that's foolishness. But that's just God's way. Everybody don't have to preach loud, but the word of God's got to go out. He said on that seventh day, the priest will blow their horn and the people will shout and the walls will fall down. That's called the shout of victory. I got a sermon I preached just on that right there. The shout of victory. You know what John had to do when he'd pray and God give him assurance in his heart that God heard him? He'd jump up and say, shout the victory of Jesus Christ. The city of Jericho was not made for size. It's made for defense. Joshua 6:20. So the people shouted. When the priests blew the trumpets, it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout, the wall fell down flat. So the people went up into the city, every man straight before him. And they took the city. You know why they took that city? Nobody fought back. They were paralyzed by fear. God opened up this earth and them walls went down like an elevator. They didn't climb over rubble. They walked straight up on flat ground. How'd you like to have been standing there, all them walls at one time? Except, hallelujah, for that section of Rahab. Glory to God. Fell in the ground like an elevator. There's no explanation for this. But God, I wonder what the Reed Sea, that's the Red Sea boys, would do with that. Well, there's an earthquake. It just happened to not mess up Rahab's house. And that way we won't get it. How foolish as people are when they don't believe. You got to have a lot of faith to not believe God. You got to be a fool. That's called no faith. Now, there's no explanation for this but God. Now, folks, this dear pastor, he done said it again today. And it's been said over and over. And we say amen and hallelujah. There's no explanation for this. There's not. It would have been wonderful if Tim Richardson could have been here today and told y'all what he told me about this weather when this invitation was going on, what was happening around here. And how God split the sky and moved that storm. If that invitation had got cut down, look what would have happened to those souls under conviction. I don't know when they'd have been saved. I don't know all that, but it probably wouldn't have been last night. I'll leave all that to God, but I want to thank God He moved her back. There's no explanation for the Red Sea parting. There's no explanation for the walls of Jericho falling. There's no explanation for a sinner getting saved. There's no explanation for a man being full of the Holy Ghost, having faith, and denying himself but God. How many things in our life can only be explained by supernatural? God has to be our life. Now, what's this? The walls fell. The children of Israel, every man went straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, man and woman, young and old, ox and sheep, and ass with the edge of the sword. Of course, we know this was first fruits. God took it all in this first battle. And now, here's what I want to look at right quick. Faith that conquers. What's the faith that conquers? The faith that conquers demands close communion with God. You don't have faith. Faith's a supernatural thing. Faith comes from God. You say it comes from God's Word. God's Word is God's breath, God's thoughts. Amen. Now I want to show you what's going to happen if you and I are to have conquering faith. Here in Joshua 5, this is what sealed the battle. It's already won for it's ever even started. In chapter number 5 and verse 13, it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho. He's up there scooping it out. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? He said, nay, but as a captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what said my Lord unto his servant? He knew this is angel of the covenant. He knew this one appeared to Abraham. He knew this one appeared to Moses. And he fell on his face. And the Lord, when the Lord appeared to him here, the Lord came to him in such a way. And Joshua thought he was with some allied force or sent from the city. He first says, are you for us or are you against us? You've heard every preacher say that. And the Lord said, I didn't come to take sides. I came to take over. God ain't come to take sides with your little clique or my little clique. He's come to take over. Joshua had enough sense to bow, worship, and say, Lord, what's the battle plan? Just tell me what to do, and I'll do it gladly. And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, where the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. What an experience that was. God will never send us out to face the walls and the enemy that He don't first empower us in communion with Him. He'll draw you to prayer before He ever does something great through you. You ever notice that? God will start making you frustrated with yourself. You can't feel God. You get empty on the inside. And you get to God because you can't preach like that. God, you got to do something for me. And God lets you go through that a while and say, now I got your ear and I got your attention. Here's what I want you to do. Because you'd have just wasted, you would have never took that time had you not got to the place of desperation. The event took place just before Jericho was taken. Before the church reached the civilized world, the Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost. Four things identify who this captain is right quick. Thank you, Lord, for cooling this down today. Man, I thought I was in purgatory yesterday.
And thank God, purgatory, you can get out. Because that's a doctrine of man. This is the same kind of incident that took place at the burning bush when the Lord God, the Lord Jesus, appeared. Every place in the Bible where God is manifested visibly, it's always Christ. He's the image of the invisible God. He appeared to Moses. Joshua said, I've heard this story before. This happened to Moses. Look what happened after he got that shoeless experience. Praise God. That's why Joshua's about to have confidence. He knows who's going to fight the battle. Amen. He takes his shoes off in deep reverence. You know what the slaves used to sing, don't you? Oh, God's young'uns got shoes. Slaves didn't have shoes. Joshua takes the place of a servant before the Lord. Shoes taken off means you're in the presence of God. And you see him high and holy and you're low and lowly. He's the captain of the Lord's host. He is the commander, it says. Joshua in verse 14 fell on his face, worship the commander. Joshua 6:2 says, this commander, the captain, is called the Lord. See, I've given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. Well, I'm telling you, isn't that glorious? Now, here's our depravity. Our depravity is full of unbelief. Joshua saw all those plagues down there in Egypt. He saw the Red Sea crossing. He saw the miracles in the wilderness, pillar of fire by night, cloud by day, the miraculous provision, the victories over the Amalekites, Sihon, and Og. He saw the Jordan crossing. But all that wasn't enough, not for this enemy. You know why? That's all past. He needs a present day application of that power. You can't live on past victories. You can gain strength from them. You can gain faith from them. But every battle, you need a fresh anointing of the Holy Ghost. Now, the fullness of the Spirit gives you power for daily living. The anointing gives you power to do a particular work. Well, I won't get into that. Just before Moses delivered Egypt, the Lord appeared to him. Conquest of Canaan. The apostles turned the world upside down, but they had just seen the resurrected Christ. Paul spent 3 years in Arabia before he ever went down to Jerusalem. And he went down there, and Barnabas was the only one to believe in him. And then Peter and James took him in the side room and talked to him a while before he'd even let him go out there and meet the children of God. They got to talking to him, and he got to telling them how God was revealing the gospel of the grace of God. And I believe the book of Hebrews, they said, praise God, this man's got to know God. He knows more than we do. Ezekiel and Isaiah saw a vision of the glory of God. Now, folks, God's got to be big to you. Because the bigger he is, the more you'll depend on him and want to. If I see God as sort of my equal, and Lord God, if you'll just help me, I'm going to help you help me and all this stuff. Hey, I'm tell you something. You see him big, and you see him great, and God made a universe, they can't even find the end of it. And it's still being created. They say it's still a busting forth out there. You know what? God made such a big universe to show us how big God is. That's why. The bigger you see God, the littler you see you. The bigger you see God, the more you know you got to have him. Hey, man. Me and Jesus ain't tag team. He's fighting and I'm behind him. You need to let God help you fight, or you can let him do the fighting. God send the angels and the Holy Ghost. Amen. We're consumed with how great we are instead of how great he is. Mark chapter 9. The devil throwed that boy in the fire and the water. Preached on that the other day. And the Lord said, you failed because of your faith. Your faith got weak. And you don't have faith in faith. He said your faith got weak because you forgot about me. You didn't have faith in me. Jesus, who defeated the greatest enemy
in the history of man, the devil, death, hell, and the grave, sweated, as it were, great drops of blood in intimate communion where he was strengthened. You know what Jesus is praying? As a man now, he's God. But as a man, he's praying, Lord, if it be willing, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not I, but thy will be done. He's saying, Father, don't let me fail. This is the man talking now. He slept and he got hungry. I'm not taking away from Christ in beggarbility. You don't need to come straighten me out. He's God and he's man. God don't need to pray in a garden. The man needs to. Because he's submitting. He needs strength. He sees what he's got to go through. Christ is a man, can't do it. Christ anointed with the Holy Ghost can. Because Christ as God won't do it. Christ as God won't do it. He's got to do it as a man, empowered by the Holy Ghost. Now I'm not preaching heresy. He didn't perform one miracle till the Holy Ghost come on him. He didn't say one word the Father didn't tell him to say. He didn't do one thing in his own power. Not one thing. It's all to show you how to live the Christian life and that it can be lived. Say, well, let me get off of that. The greatest evidence of self-reliance is a lack of prayer. When we don't pray, we're showing our self-reliance. When we pray, we're showing we gotta have God. A lack of prayer can be a result of guilt from sin and a dirty conscience. And you need a clear conscience to come in boldness and liberty. I gotta hurry. Faith that conquers is a byproduct of prayer and communion. Folks, desperate times demands desperate sacrifice. World War II, this whole nation went to war. We've never done that since. That's why Korean War was a truce. Vietnam, we throw that away, and we'll not get into all that. We've not had a president that rallied the whole nation. Because since World War II, we've never had all the families of America affected like it was now. All our families in the church are affected. And what we're facing. God, we need our people to get a hold of this. It's now lay me down to sleep and God bless the food and all that stuff ain't going to get her done. The Lord's disciples made the connection between Christ's success, his victory and his prayer life. That's why they come in. Lord, teach us how to pray. As I taught thy disciples, they made the connection. His communion with the Father is what gave him success. Okay, here we go right quick. Faith that conquers requires close communion with God. Faith that conquers attempts great things for God. What an undertaking this was. This looks like absolute insanity. And it was. You're going to take a walled city by marching around it and blowing trumpets and people shouting and that type of thing. I'm telling you, Joshua was willing to attempt great things for God because God was great and he did great things for Joshua. Amen. Amen. William Carey made that statement. First Baptist missionary from England. Then Adoniram Judson followed him from America. Went to India. Took 7 years to see the first convert. Translated the word of God into 34 different languages. Brother Randy, it took him 7 years to win one convert. He didn't have a big congregation of feet. That gave him plenty of time to learn the language and translate scripture. My God, how smart you are! Amen. Y'all people with me now? You think he's great? Ain't that wise? We need to quit fussing and bellyaching how God's doing things and trust him. He's doing something for us. Couldn't be done any other way. William Carey said, expect great things from God. Undertake great things for God. Don't settle for anything less than God's will. You don't have to outdo somebody down the road. Just be content. God, I want to do your will. The purpose you sent me to this church. I'm not interested in having more than somebody down the road. That's pride. God, I want to do what you want me to do. I want to fulfill the purpose for this place. And if I'm short term, help me to leave it where somebody can take it, where it needs to be. To settle for less than God's will cost future generations because we didn't defeat the enemy and drive them out. Now, Brother Andy, Joshua, and all the children of Israel, they can tell everybody what happened down there in Egypt. But all them youngest, 20 years and older, don't even remember that. And then those that remember the wilderness, they can tell those experience. But then there's coming a new generation. All they're going to do is hear that they need to see. That's why all this is important. Because of a lack of zeal and a lack of faith, we don't step out for doing something great. Thirdly, the faith that conquers secures great glory to God. If you look in your Bible there, verse 4, 6, 7, and 8. 10 times in 10 verses, God talks about the ark of God. Carry on priest's shoulders. Christ exalted. Christ lifted up is where the victory's at. The centrality of the ark. They marched around that ark. That ark was in the midst of them. The ark symbolized that this was an act of God and not an act of man. They carried it. They marched. Those men that carried that ark, that's hard work. That's a burden. David tried to bring the ark back apart from the burden. He tried to bring it back apart from God's man, apart from the word of God, apart from prayer, apart from the burden. And he put it on a cart and God killed us over it. You can't bypass self-denial. You can't bypass prayer. You can't bypass a burden. I'm preaching to people. You men preach this and you know this. I'm just reminding myself. This has nothing to do with Israel's strength here. This miracle is going to be done by the mighty power of God. You make much of Jesus. He'll make much out of you. You remember what I quoted yesterday? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added unto you. And you don't even need to ask for them if you seek first the kingdom of God. We ask for ourselves, but we don't need to. If we're seeking the kingdom of God, all them material things shall be added unto you, and that's a promise. Amen. The ark spoke of the miracle being done by God. What isn't it something, Brother Randy, that we can cooperate with God, and the Lord can work faith in our heart, and we can exercise that faith, and we get to have a part on what God's doing in this universe? John 11:4, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Well, I taught on that yesterday. I'm not going to get back on that. Fourthly, faith that conquers guarantees supernatural power. I'm addicted to it. I want to see God come dramatically. I love it. God don't do it as much as I'd like to see it. I like it when they run to God. Shake and tremble under conviction like a tree in a windstorm. God seizes them. I love stuff like that. God send that drawing power and the church, the bride, the womb has been impregnated and God gives birth and the whole church rejoices at the birth. Now a man can get saved anywhere God wants to save me, anywhere he'll believe. Brother Andy, I have my druthers that all get saved in church. Every one of them. But that ain't up to me. Wherever they'll believe. Because then the whole church gets to rejoice. A woman will have a baby on the way to the hospital. It's better for her to get there and the whole family get in. See that daddy. I know when they put them white, that white robe on me, whatever that thing was.
my first boy was born, and I come out there. God, I was a trembling. Brother Randy, that was an extension of me right there. A miracle right there. And when God moves in power and God gives victory, people get saved. Oh, they're rejoicing. What's this about? It's about a miracle that'll be so powerful, my dear friends, that they'll never get over it. I was preaching in a meeting in this year, and Thursday night, God moved in there. God got to saving people, and all I did was sit back and watched it. And that pastor told me, those people said, most of them there said, we ain't never seen nothing like this. We'll be talking about this for 20 years. I believe they'll be talking about this for more than 20 years. Much more than what the miracle did at Jericho. It's what it did to the land. Who's playing that piano? Brother Jared, come up here a minute. I want to give these people hope. I'm going to shut up in a minute. This victory was for a whole lot more than just Jericho. All of the cities were surrounded by walls. Every time they see Israel coming, they got walls. They're going to say them walls are going to fall. And so they come out of the walls where Israel can easily defeat them. Ain't God smart? That's right. That wall tires down walls. We ain't protected here. We might as well go fight them. And God defeated them. The victories God gives us today is for the rest of our lives. And for eternity. Six kings are defeated in battle. Chapter 11 verse 4. All coming out of the cities. Chapter 11 verse 20. Why in the name of heaven and earth and God would anybody leave the fortification of a walled city to come fight out in the open? Because of what happened at Jericho. That's why. This strategy is unorthodox. The lamb was taken as an example of the defeat of one city. How strange that God would cure Naaman dipping seven times in the Jordan River. How odd for Elijah to be fed by the brook Cherith for at least a year. 2.5 years by a widow woman who upon his arrival had a little meal in one barrel, a little cruse of oil. How amazing for Christ to take 5 loaves, 2 fishes, say 5,000 men, not counting women and children. Folks, listen. What did Rahab say when the spies got there? One of them spies is Salmon, and that's who she married. She said, we've heard what God did at the Red Sea. We've heard. I'll tell you one reason God kept them out there 40 years was so the whole land would hear of God had opened the Red Sea and is feeding people in a desert 3.5 million for 40 years. We heard about Sihon and Og. I pray our reputation will precede us. Faith that conquers is abundant, lastly, in its results. Victory of Jericho affected them for years, and we're still shouting about it, learning from it. Deuteronomy 7:9. Know therefore, the Lord thy God is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Deeds done for God's glory by faith and by God's power last and last and last. You ever thought about this text right here, 1 Samuel 17? David knocks Goliath down, knock him out, John. David knocked Goliath to the ground with a stone. He knocked him out, he might have killed him. I know one thing, he was graveyard dead when David cut his head off. He slew that giant with God's word. Faith. And that little stone's like one verse, and then he took the word of God to him. And he slung it by faith and power. Brother Randy, what did David do with the head of Goliath? He ran to Jerusalem, Mount Zion, where the capital is going to be. He ran to them city gates and said, "You're next! I'm going to come on after you!" Amen. Ain't that good? Faith. Faith. You need to take these memories, catalog them in your mind, and relive them. Brother Andy, everybody needs to go home at night, cut that television off, and just go back through their mind what they saw. The little boys are praising God. Catalog all that. And just start thanking God one by one for everything he did that he didn't have to do none of it. Gives you faith. And if you're real smart, you write it down. And then you got a journal. The miracles, God. Not something you read, something I saw.